I sometimes tell people, and for those of you who are actually students of this course in this room, something attracted you to this course at the beginning. Even if you didn't really know what it said, something attracted you. There was some sense of hope. There was some sense of promise. What happens once you start working with it is you forget that. Instead of devoting your entire life to that, you forget it. Why do you forget it? Because if you pursued that with a total diligence and dedication and devotion, you would leave this world. You'd leave the world of the ego. All your specialness would be gone. Try to get back to the initial feeling when you found this book. Have you felt something exciting? That's where something you realize, this will work. Nothing else has worked in my life. You know, we've all been through the mill of things that haven't worked. You know? But something you recognize, this course will really work. This has an integrity. This has a truth. This has a beauty. This has a compellingly authoritative tone that is not authoritarian, but that is telling you this is the truth and nothing else is. And like, your heart leapt with joy at that. What I'm saying, get back to that. Because that's why you wake up every morning. To do what this course says you should do to recapture that sense of joy and that sense of hope. Because nothing in this world will do that. As good as things can make you feel here, they don't last. This will last. But it's within you, but you have to work to get back to it because your resistance is so strong. That's why this is a process. And it does require having a healthy respect for your ego. And so what's helpful is to just see the signs for how you're holding on to things. Again, you're holding on to grievances. And you're holding on to, again, these petty thoughts about people. Above all, you're holding on to the idea that the world has power to take your peace away. You know, you could be in the most horrendous situation and still feel the peace of God. You know, very early on, it's in chapter 2. It was originally meant for Helen specifically, but it obviously holds for all of us. And Jesus said to her, "You're far too tolerant of mind wandering." Well, mind wandering is projection. I wander from my mind. I take the guilt in my mind and I wander away into the world, like the prodigal son in the far country, and I attack everybody. Or I blame my unhappiness on what's going on outside of me. So the context of that passage was Helen was complaining to Jesus about something she was afraid of. And he basically said, "Don't ask me to help you with your fear. I know fear does not exist, but you don't." And he said, "Ask me instead to help you remove the conditions that led to the fear." And he said, "And those conditions always entail a willingness to be separate." That's what he said to her. This was in chapter 2. Right? And that's when he said, "You're far too tolerant of mind wandering." There are two sections, fear and conflict and cause and effect in chapter 2. That's where they appear. But we're all too tolerant of our mind wandering. Anytime we ascribe power to anyone or anything in the world to take away our peace, that's mind wandering. That's saying projection works. There's a world out there that can hurt me. There's only one thing in the universe that could hurt me, and that's my mind's decision for my ego. That could hurt me. That does hurt me. But this makes no sense unless I know I'm a mind. And that's what I meant a few moments ago when I said this course is calling for a radical shift. Well, we are asked to look at the world through Jesus' eyes, not our own. And that's a 180-degree shift. Because the way we look at the world is the world does things for me. Right? I get a good report from the doctor, I feel good. I get a job, I feel good. I lose my job, I feel bad. This person that I'm adoring loves me, I feel wonderful. This person I adore tells me to get lost, I feel terrible. and on and on. My candidate loses, I feel terrible. My candidate wins, I feel wonderful. My favorite baseball team wins tonight. Right? Whoever it is. Right? What did the Yankees do tonight, by the way? Right? But we can all identify with it. Even something that everybody knows on some level is absolutely inane, which is sports. People get really exercised. Now, I grew up in Brooklyn, so I know about that. That's when they were still the Brooklyn Dodgers. Right? But it's inane. How upset people get. Yeah. Not that you can't enjoy something, but people don't enjoy sports. Or some people do, but a lot of it, it's life and death. Right? And we don't realize that all of that has nothing to do with what's going on outside. We're reliving a conflict inside by projecting it outside and thinking it's out there. And when what we want works, when our team wins, when the job works out the way I want it to, when the relationship works out the way I want it to, I feel wonderful. Why? Because I've again triumphed over God. That's what that line means. If you knew the special relationship was a triumph over God, would you want it? Because I'm saying there is something in this world that gives me what God can't give me. It gives me an excitement. It gives me a sense of triumph. It gives me a sense of well-being. It gives me a sense of wonder, of love. And there's nothing sinful or bad about any of that, but it won't get you to heaven.